covering torn up.
Sure.
Only because I've heard people talk about it.
Okay.
But, like, go over the woman issue.
Okay, I'd be happy to do that. What part?
That they're not to, like...
be pastors, you mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not a problem at all. Well, let me say first, do you want kind of an overview, or what do you want? What do you think would meet what you've heard?
I guess an overview.
An overview. Okay. Well, when we took on that subject, of course, we came upon it as elders, the former group of elders, as quite a surprise. None of us were expecting to run into that. I was just looking into elders. A guy that I met, I had asked the Lord, I said, God, you know, here I am again, and it seems like I'm going to, again, be the one person that disagrees with the whole planet, you know, and I would sure love to run into someone who's been down this road, and sure enough, bam, I ran into one within a week. And we start talking, he hands me a book, I take it home, I start reading it. I remember I was sitting at a garage sale you were having on Manti Avenue, and I was gotten to like the second chapter, we hadn't gone too far, and I was reading. And I was really enjoying this guy because he was very, very good. He had a lot of references for everything he said. And the one difference I could see between him and egalitarians, and by egalitarians, I know it's a big word, but egalitarians are those who believe that women have the right to be in a position of authority inside the churches. The difference between his writing and every egalitarian book I had ever read, that doesn't mean that's all of them, just the ones I have read, okay? Have I read all of them? No, just the ones I've read, okay? Very select. Small group. Well, the ones I had read were very attacking and very critical and had very little to substantiate what they were saying except for scriptures pulled out of context and stretching truths to doubtful areas. Whereas this guy, he would give them everything he could and then brought in the scriptures, and he was not attacking. He was very, very nice and very kind, and that set a different tone for me immediately. I appreciated that. So anyway, as when we ran into that, of course, it was a big deal, and so it set me on about 9 months of study. In the end, one of the things it brought me back to, as it does with Jesus and with Paul, is I went back to Genesis. And looking at that really set a context for everything. And we went through this in great detail when we were talking about Genesis. And Paul uses Genesis as his reason for why women are not supposed to be put in a position of teaching and authority inside the church. He goes back to creation. And I love the fact that he does that, number one, because the fact that he could have given any number of reasons, but the ones he chose were before the fall. They all spoke down to creation, God's original intent. Well, that kind of puts it outside of the realm of argument now. You know what I mean? And so he goes back and he said, in fact, let's just read a couple of those examples real quickly. Turn, if you will, to Timothy, 1 Timothy. And I know, because I've read all the literature. Well, and again, I haven't read all the literature, but I've read a lot of literature. I've run into just about, I imagine, probably almost every argument I can. And I had my own whole huge set of arguments because we were a female-led church for years. And when my mom and I would go someplace, I was essentially the guard at point. And I would butcher someone with the scriptures if they came close to trying to put her down, because it made me angry. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you have to understand where I came from. I just didn't fall into believing this just because it was convenient to me. You always remember when this first came to me, God and I didn't speak for 2 or 3 days because I was ticked off at him. And I told him so. And I knew that there were going to be things that flew out my mouth that I would regret later on if I didn't just shut my mouth. And the one thing I finally whispered to God was, God, you're going to have to show me how this is beautiful, because to me, this is bigotry, this is discrimination, and it's ugly. And I know if it's you, it's beautiful. And we didn't talk for days. And God began to romance me to his side and showed me how it was beautiful and how it was not bigotry. And I'm forever grateful for that. But in Timothy, he says, let's see, and... looking, chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start in verse 5. We can read the whole thing, but you can read it later. I'm not trying to skip something important. I'm just trying to get to the point, but give a little bit of context ahead of time. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Therefore I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and with shamefacedness, that means bashfulness towards men, not with braided hair and gold and pearls and costly clothing, but that which is proper for a woman professing godliness and with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For. Now, what does the word for indicate to you?
For this reason.
This is the reason why I said what I just said. Okay, you following me? What's his reason? For. Now before, back when I used to argue for women being able to be in a position of authority in the church, I would say, well, number one, this isn't God's command, this is Paul's command. He said, I permit, and I don't permit. Well, you know, either the Word of God's inspired or it's not. You know, it also says that in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, doesn't it talk about? He said, now I, not the Lord, but I believe I have permission. You know, God chose to canonize that, so I'm guessing he had permission to say what he said, or wouldn't be in the canon of Scripture. Is somebody with me or not? Yes or no? Okay. Here he says, so I would argue against it because I'd say, well, you know, Paul was saying this, and he was saying it just to this select group of people, and this is the reason why, and I would go off on a tangent about a bunch of stuff that I didn't know what I was talking about. All right? But all the while, the verse right here tells me why he says it. I didn't have to go into a bunch of tangents. All I had to do was read what he said. Do you think that's good advice? Mm-hmm. Does anybody think that's good advice?
Yes.
Read what the man says. Don't read into what he says. Just read what he says. So let's just read it. He says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. First thing he says. The reason why I do not allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man is for this reason. Is because Adam was formed first and then Eve. That's the first thing. Where was that happening? Genesis. Is this before or after the fall? This has got nothing to do with culture, does it? It's got nothing to do with the culture of the people he was writing to, with Timothy. Nothing about their culture. He doesn't bring up... When was the last time God changed his mode of operation because it might offend the culture?
Never.
Can you remember a time? Jesus, well, I won't say that because it might offend the Pharisees. Don't want to do that. You remember a time? Do you think that maybe the reasons why God wrote had the law written the way he did in the Old Covenant was because of the fact that he wanted to make sure he was in step with all the other nations? Because it was really important with God that he not offend them. No, I never see God curbing what he does because of a cultural problem. Jesus stands right up and says, again, I am who I am, deal with it. I will make no apology. That's just the way God, and really, you know, if you were God, couldn't you really take that approach towards life? You know, I mean, I can't, because I don't have that leg to stand on. I'm not creator. I am solidly the created, right? But as a creator, boy, that gives you certain rights, doesn't it? And God just is who he is, and he doesn't feel the need to apologize or explain himself, right? Often, we live enough with a gracious God that he does explain himself, but he doesn't have to. If he says it, it's enough. Would you agree with me?
Yeah.
So let's keep on reading. We haven't read the whole reason. That was the first reason. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And, or as well as this, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being fully deceived, fell into transgression. Those are his reasons. Those are the two reasons he gives in this passage. Is everybody with me? So he's saying, the reason I will not allow a woman to teach and have authority over a man. Now, the context here, if you want to try to put it inside of a context, he was talking to the church at large. He wasn't talking to the church just meaning inside of a local assembly, but you could say that, and I'm okay with that, because that would be a doubtful thing. Are you with me? Okay? But, you know, but again, here, when God made Adam first, was he... I asked when I was teaching this a long time ago, was God in Adam, was God just making a husband, or was he making a representative of all males?
All males.
All males. All men are in Adam. All women are in Eve. God, Eve's only definition was not just wife. Hello?
That's right.
She was also a female, independent of being just being a married woman, right? She also eventually became a mother, right? But what God said to and about Eve was not affecting a wife, it was affecting a woman. Hello? What he said to Adam, he was affecting all males, not just a husband. Is somebody with me? In fact, Adam, when God created him, wasn't a husband. Was he?
No.
No, he was just a man. Amen? Now, I'm going to have to call to memory off the top of my head, so I may miss it, so forgive me if I do. But check up on me, because, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. These things I remember, I think I remember, go back to Genesis, check it out, that God did before he brought in the woman. The first thing he did is, of course, he created the man, right? We also know that God named the man,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who was the one that named the woman?
Adam.
God didn't name her. Adam named her, right? Okay. The other thing is that before God made the woman out of the rib of the man, God had already done a couple of things with Adam. One of the things was he took him out and placed him in an area where God made or dressed the garden in front of Adam. Eve was not present. Why? Because she's not the banner carrier. She's the helper. Hello? He put him there because it was his job. Her job, her name was Ezer Connecto, which means a helper. And that was not just true because of being a wife. You notice that if you go back and you read all of the testimonies of the women that did ministry in Jesus Christ's ministry and in the apostles, every one of them were support roles. They were Ezer Connectos. They were helpers. Every single one of them. There's not a case of one not being one. There isn't one. It doesn't exist. Okay, so that's a feminine designation, not just a wife designation. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so he set the man and he showed him how to, because what was he going to charge man with? Take care of the garden. Who was he talking to when he said that? Was he talking to the woman or to the man? He was talking to, you notice most of the dialogue that takes place in chapters 1-4, God's talking to a human, he's talking to his man. He wasn't talking to the woman. Even when it came down to, thou shalt not touch the tree, he didn't say that to her, did he? He said it to him. God's talking to the head. Is he being a bigot? Well, if he is, he's right, because he's God. Hello? Who was he talking to? He was talking to the man. It was after he had created him, after he had established everything, showed him how to do his job of taking care of the garden, after he, not Eve, had named all of the animals, then he made the woman. Right? Brought her to his side. She shall be a helpmate to him. Right? Paul says this is the reason why. In the fall, the man was not the one that was deceived. He sinned eyes wide open. You're like, well, how does that qualify you for ministry? Because of the fact, it's not a matter of a qualification for ministry. The issue is a man is typically harder to deceive. That's just true. That's his statement. I mean, I didn't write that. Can you guys see that in your Bible or not? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And another reason is because Adam was not deceived, Eve was. Completely, in fact. Hello? I'm not reading into the passage, am I? I mean, what does it say? Someone else read it in another translation. I'm reading the New King James. Someone have another translation?
This is New King James.
Okay. Anybody else have another translation?
I did, but I flipped away from it.
I'm sorry.
Mine's just regular King James.
That's fine. Read the regular King James.
For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression.
Okay. Now, we all know that Adam sinned too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And he did it eyes wide open. And we also know another reason that adds into all that God was sharing with me on the backdrop of this whole thing was that the whole earth didn't fall on Eve. The whole earth fell on Adam. The Bible said that sin entered the world through Adam. Who was the first one that actually acted on sin? Eve. But how did sin affect the rest of the world for the rest of time? Not through her. She didn't have that kind of authority. Went through him. Hello? Yes, go ahead.
Contemporary English version.
Cool.
Says, they should be silent and not be allowed to teach or to tell men what to do. After all, Adam was created before Eve, And the man, Adam, wasn't the one who was fooled. It was the woman, Eve, who was completely fooled and sinned.
Okay. And that, the reason why I kept on saying completely or fully deceived is because in the Greek, the word is there. It means it was a complete deception. She was completely knocked off the rock. She just didn't know, right? She was now Adam wasn't able to be deceived. He knew the truth. And no matter what the enemy said, he understood it. And he did it anyway. So it was deliberate in him, wasn't it? At least Eve can say it wasn't deliberate. But this isn't about that. This is about authority. Are you following me?
Yes.
And what does Paul point back towards? Authority. Are you following me? Okay. And this is true all the way through. But let me give you a few examples, because we dealt with several. One of them was Deborah. You remember Deborah in the Old Testament? One of the few examples of a woman having any type of what might have seemed like authority underneath God's provision. Now, and we dealt with that. I don't know if anybody remembers us dealing with that. How many people remember us talking about that? We talked extensively about it. How many people remember when Brother Rob took us through, and I forget the name of it, so forgive me, when we were going through our founding fathers and the Barton deal and all that? You remember that? I mean, that was just some rich, good stuff. And you remember Black's Law Book, I think is what it was called. Henry or Bill or whatever, it was Black Law Book. And that law book was based upon what? It was based upon the Old Testament scripture specifically, right? Okay? And it's based upon that our entire government was based upon those basic rules, weren't they? They drew them up and adopted them from right back here. How many branches of government do we have?
Three
of them. Okay? We have what?
Executive,
legislative, and judicial. Right? Okay? What does the legislative branch do? Now, I'm not talking about what they actually are doing right now. I'm talking about what they're supposed to do according to the Old Testament. Okay, that part of their job is to make the law and also to have state representation through the House and the Senate, right? Okay? So you've got, that's the branch that actually makes the law, right? Okay? Then you've got in the middle, you've got the executive branch. What do they do? Exactly. They're the leaders, aren't they? They don't make the laws. They still have to follow them, don't they? It's supposed to work that way, yes? Now, technically, it really never has worked that way since the first day. Not just now. This isn't anything new. It's just gotten worse. Okay? But, I mean, the executive branch is supposed to be taking orders over here, aren't they? They're really almost figureheads in many respects. Then you have the judicial branch. What do? They enforce laws, right? It's not really their job even to interpret, is it? Their job is to just enforce what it says. Our problem we have right now is that they're interpreting, aren't they? And reading into and writing laws. Right? But that was not their job or their authority. They didn't write Jack. They supported what somebody else with authority did. Hello? The judicial branch doesn't have that kind of... In fact, in the end, they really don't even have any real authority to make something happen. They have to pass that off to the branch that's really not a branch of the government, but to the police to actually... mete out justice. Isn't that right? The judicial branch doesn't actually even mete out justice. All they do is say, this is what it says. This is what's going to happen to you. Have a nice or lousy day accordingly. That's their job. Right? They don't write the laws. They don't rule over the laws. All they do is adjudicate what somebody else with real authority did. What they dictated. Amen? I'm sorry. I wanted to finish my sentence before I stopped
you.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I was just saying. While you were speaking about the law, and then there's mm-hmm. another translation, Wycliffe, New Testament,
mm-hmm.
that verse, 1 Timothy
mm-hmm.
2:14 says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived in breaking of the law.
Mm-hmm. In breaking of the law.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd have to find out where you got that part.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I realized that it was from the Wycliffe.
Yeah, Wycliffe.
It was uh-huh. transgression used or
mm-hmm.
deceived in breaking of the law.
Mm-hmm. So now we have those branches, and that was based upon the Old Testament, was it not?
Yeah.
Yes or no? It was? Okay. So Deborah being a judge, was she someone that was part of also the legislative branch creating rules?
No.
She didn't really have any real authority to create what you will and will not do. She didn't have any executive authority to rule over anyone, did she? All she had was the ability to pronounce judgment based on the words of someone who did have authority. Hello? That was her only job. She didn't act, and in fact, actually meting out justice, she didn't do that either. And she was also a prophetess. Women can still be prophetess today. The New Testament backs that up. Amen? I've never said otherwise, and I never will. Amen? Okay? But we're not talking about being a prophet. A prophet has no authority. All they do is just say what they're told to say. Okay? That's not executive authority. Executive authority would be in the position of someone that would be an apostle or an elder. Which is why when you look in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, when decisions were being made about doctrine that would affect the entire church, the only people in the room were apostles and elders. Prophets were not allowed in the room. Teachers were not allowed in the room. Evangelists were not invited. The only people with that kind of executive authority were apostles and elders. Read it in your Bible. Don't take my word for it. You won't find it. You won't find any other branch of charisma in the New Testament that has that kind of authority. It just doesn't exist. Okay? And again, don't take my word for it. Look it up. We're talking about the council where Paul and Barnabas left from Antioch and went down to talk to James and who was an apostle, and the other apostles and the elders that were there in Jerusalem. And the reason why they went back to Jerusalem is not because of some stupid reason. I've heard it said, and I actually taught this. I'm embarrassed by that. That Jerusalem was the mother church. Technically, I guess they were the mother church, but that wasn't the reason why they went back. The reason they went back to Jerusalem is because it was from Jerusalem that the guys came to Antioch teaching the false doctrine. And they were in Antioch when they heard these Jerusalem teachers teaching what they thought was false doctrine. So what did they do? They went back to the source, Jerusalem, where these teachers came from. Are you fine? They didn't go back there because it was the mother church. They went back there because that's where the lie started. And who did they call to counsel together? The apostles and the elders. That's all. Amen?
No,
so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said no women.
Yeah, there was no women, you're right. And that there was, and most men weren't either, unless you happened to be an apostle or you happened to be an elder. Okay? Now, you go back here looking at back at Deborah. I'm not taking away from who Deborah was. Deborah was a godly woman. She was one of the reasons why, now I'm speculating on this part, but we do know at this time during Jewish history, the men were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't stepping to the plate. And when that kind of thing happens, the Bible actually says, and I'll have to look up the passage. If someone is interested in the passage I'm kind of half quoting right now, ask me later. I'll do what I can to find it. It's in the teaching. I brought it up several times when I was teaching this years ago. Okay? But a statement, I think it might be in the book of Isaiah, where the Bible was talking about this was a judgment God was going to bring on a nation, predominantly because the men were not taking the lead as they should. He said, a child shall lead you and a woman will rule over you. It was a judgment against them. Hello? Okay? But Deborah, she was a godly woman. She was doing exactly what she needed to do. Are you following me? There was nothing wrong with, as far as I can see, the reading. And Deborah only makes up, I think, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Judges. You don't see her anyplace else in the Bible. But she's brought up there, and so the whole bulk of her ministry is mentioned there. But you'll notice that what she does is she asks for these men to be brought to her that are over their heads of a tribe. And they were not going in and taking the land that God had commanded those men to take. And so they were brought before the judge. And she said, why aren't you doing what God told you to do? Now, she doesn't say, now, because you're not doing what God tells you to do, I've made a judicial decision, the legislative decision, that this is what's going to happen to you because I have authority in Israel. She didn't say that. All she was doing was saying, this is what God said, this is what you're doing, why? Right? And he said, unless you go, because I know the Spirit of the Lord's on you, and he was, the Spirit of the Lord was on Deborah. She was a powerful prophetess, and she was a godly judge. No one's taken that from this woman, but she didn't have authority. He said, if you don't go with me, I'm still not going to obey what God says. And she said, now, you need to understand something. If I go with you, the glory from this battle is going to pass from you and be brought to me. And she said, a woman. Those her words. indicating that it doesn't belong on me. It belongs on you. It's going to pass from you to me. And everybody, I mean, if you were talking to Deborah and she said me, don't you know the woman? Don't you know she's a woman?
Right.
Isn't that kind of obvious?
Yeah.
But she said a woman. She was drawing attention to that fact,
right,
indicating it doesn't belong to me.
Right.
Right? Hello? And then they went down. But when they went, it says that she went with them, but this man led them. She had no authority to lead anyway. She just went with. Now, you don't have to believe me. Go back and read Judges. I don't know if it's chapter 2 and 3 or 1 and 2. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Read the first four chapters. You'll find it. It's in there. Read the whole thing. Don't take my word for it. Make sure you pay attention to the words. Deborah was not she had no executive authority. She had no legislative authority. All she had was judicial authority. Now, that's not bad authority, but it's still, and it is a form of authority. Being a prophetess is a form of authority, isn't it? Yes or no? But a prophet is an informer. They don't have any authority. I mean, we spend a lot of time with that as well. When Jesus made that very clear, which one of the prophets did you guys not kill? Now, if they had been a king, you couldn't have been a hard to kill. You might could have gotten by with killing them, but very few kings in Israel were assassinated. They had authority. Prophets, you could kill them. They didn't have any authority. If you didn't like what they said, you could mount a revolt and kill them. And he said, how many did you not kill? I can't. That many. You killed them all. Right? They didn't have authority. They were informers. Jeremiah didn't like being an informer. Right? He bemoaned it. God, you set me up to be a prophet to this nation, and everything I say is negative. I am not winning the popularity contest here. I don't want to prophesy in your name anymore. And God said, yet you're gonna. And they kept on prophesying. And he was not a popular man. And they still didn't do what he said. Because he had no thought. But let me tell you, if the king had said the same thing the prophet said, people had done it. Why? The king had authority. The prophet did not. He was the informer. Hello? Is anybody seeing that? Yes, go ahead.
I'll just read it in context. It's Isaiah chapter 3.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, I'll read all 12 verses. It says, For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed. Everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes a hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler. Let these ruins be under your power. In that day he will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sins as Sodom. They will not hide it. Woe to their soul. For they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths.
Okay, so was that a positive thing he was saying over them about the women leading them?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was a negative thing. It was a matter of judgment against them, right? Okay, is that because God just doesn't like women? No, he loves women. It's because of the fact that you're dealing with an authority issue. God, who is the source of all authority? God is. And he delegates it to whom he will. Now, why does God, now the greater question that came to my mind was, why did you pick blue instead of pink? Why can't you pick both? Why you didn't pick pink instead of blue? I mean, I've got questions. You know what I mean? And there's a reason behind why God does what he does. So we have to look at the landscape of humanity and see what is it that men represent, because we know that whatever God's doing is a representation of himself and of his character. Women are a representation of the person of God, aren't they? Just as much as men are. It's not, they're not less. They're different. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, isn't that true?
Yeah.
So what is it that you were saying in male that made you want to delegate authority over them and that represents you well, and if it was on women, it represents you falsely? What is that? Well, I got tons of answers to that, but that's the question you need to ask yourself. Because God had a reason for doing what he did. It's not because God likes blue better than pink. It's not because of the fact that, because it doesn't make it, I mean, even inside of authority, structure authorities, no, everybody's got somebody that they're under. Isn't that true? Most men on the planet have got as many people that are over them as women do. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a matter of that. But God is saying a statement through the sexes. Could not God have made the human race asexual, where they could reproduce on their own? Could he? Is that beyond his power?
No.
It's not beyond his power. We know animals. There are certain animals that do that. So I'm believing God was intentional when he did it the way he did it. He wanted a pink and a blue one because it was supposed to illustrate something. And when he delegated authority, he deliberately did it with the male. He didn't do it with the female. Not because he didn't like her. You have to understand, if there hadn't been a fall, we wouldn't have the first woman contesting this. They would have loved it. Because it would have been that not only would have been their proper place, but it would have been a good place. But what about the fall changed the place? Nothing. It might have changed whether you like it. It may have changed whether or not the guy that is over you is a great guy or not, or a jerk. But it doesn't change where he put the authority. Hello? Doesn't change that. Is anyone with me or not? I mean,
yeah.
How many people realize that the fall stunk? Yeah. It stinks. How many good things did it bring? Yeah. Didn't bring anything good. So even godly, good, perfect things in the garden, God, you notice, he didn't change his way of doing things just because we decided we wanted to screw it up. Are you with me? He didn't say, well, okay, now, see, it didn't work with you in control. I'm going to make her in control. See how that flies.
Well, I think, so I went back to Genesis to look at it, and God told Adam about the tree before he ever created Eve.
That's right.
So Adam had to have told Eve.
He did.
So that's how Eve could have easily be, you know, deceived. You know, because we don't know if he used the exact same words that God used to him, or he just said, "Don't eat that tree." You know, and so that's how she could be deceived.
It's possible. It's not likely. I gotta tell you. And the reason why is because she quoted exactly what God told Adam, only she added one thing, which Adam may have added. I don't know. But at least everything God said, she repeated. So she knew. But not only that, if Adam had been a bad communicator of what was being shared and what was being taught, that would definitely not qualify him for being a teacher.
Right.
Yet the problem was not, and it wasn't even really in her hearing, because like I say, when it was confronted, she said word for word what we hear God saying to Adam, except for with the addition of the words, "Neither shall you touch it." And maybe Adam threw that in. I don't know if she threw that in or Adam threw it in. We don't know. It's a doubtful thing, right? Okay? All we do know is that all the words were there, even though there were additional words too, right? So she had the command. He had to have told her, right? And yet she was able to be talked out of the truth. Adam wasn't able to be talked out of the truth. Hello? Okay? Does that mean that men can never be talked out of the truth? No, that's not the issue. The point is, though, that obviously, Paul, I mean, if you are an enemy, let me just go ahead and throw this out there, and again, I know I'm getting into a gray area, but if you are an enemy and you're going to attack a group of people, are you going to pick its strongest point or its weakest point?
Weakest.
Hello? I mean, isn't that common sense? You're not going to go for the guy with the battle axe. You're going to go to the guy with the pop gun. Hello? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, the enemy didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. Hello?
Yeah,
now, does that, hold on, because remember, and I know you guys remember the spaghetti brain bit, right? You guys remember that.
Yeah.
I've heard it I don't know how many times, both in a good and a negative context.
Most women but, are reminded of that.
Oh, yes, I know. But there, if you remember, I went through a chart, and I was able to show how both of them have benefits, don't they? God did not create one with nothing but negative and one with nothing but positive. They were complementary. I cannot tell you how many men are saved from certain destruction because their wife remembered connecting dots that they did not. Or because the man heard what was said but not what was meant. You know what I'm saying? How many men how many men have been saved, even if you're not married, have been saved by a woman because of that? I have been. I'm thankful for that. I think compartmentalized. And I don't apologize for that. It's the way I was made to be. And I need to have a Terry in my life because she saves me from destruction. She's my helper. Because God didn't make it a one-man show. He could have. He could have just made Adam the end all. He can reproduce and just make another one and make another one and make another one. We don't need a female. God decided we needed female. It is not good that this man is by himself. Amen? So this is not a negative thing, is it? If we read negative into it, that's our fault. God didn't put negative there. This was supposed to be a team effort where we work together. It's not a competition, and it's not about building one person up and tearing another person down. But, you know, and we've used this example before. If we just go back in history, just natural history, just 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, you go into, and I've said this, I don't know how many times, even in recent times, when you have a man and a woman, they went into a husband and wife particularly, if they went to a party, that it was customary, number one, she was often on his arm, he led in the room, he led in the dance, he was the leader. That was just understood. It would have been the weird thing for the woman to drag the man in and her announce, this is my husband, I am Mrs. such and such. If you were announced as a couple at a ball, they didn't say, this is Terry Woodson and her husband Mark, did they? It was always Mr. Mrs. Why? Because they went from authority, didn't they? It's been known from the foundation of the world. It's only been in the last several decades that we've questioned what is obvious. What's been known from the foundation of the world. Is it because men were better? No! Clearly not. If they were better, they wouldn't have needed another person, would they? God said, it is not good that you're by yourself. Didn't he clearly make that obvious? You really need her. Right? But, you know, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll probably finish this another time because we're wrapping up here. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, and you have to forgive me because I'm doing this off the top of my head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul also, is 1 Corinthians 11 also inspired? Yes. That means God breathed this, did he not? Yes. How much scripture is profitable for what we ought to believe?
All
of it. What we ought to believe. Amen? Yes or no?
Yes.
All scripture is profitable for what you ought to be believing. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in right standing with God, so that the man of God or the woman of God, that's a non-gender specific word, so that the people of God may be perfect or mature and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you question what's in here, you're not going to be equipped for every good work, you're going to be challenging every good work. Hello? You can call it a good work, but it's not a good work if it goes against this. Hello? It's the truth. Like Brother Hagin said, you can say amen or oh me. Right? 1 Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me, starting in verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions that I have delivered to you. But what I want you to know is that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man. You notice he doesn't say here husband and wife. Hello? He said the head of every woman is man and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying and prophesying, having his head covered, that means having long hair, dishonors his head. And every woman who prays and prophesies, having her head shaved or uncovered, dishonors her head. Now, what heads are we talking about? We're not talking about their physical head. By doing that with their natural head, they're dishonoring their spiritual head. If a man does that, he's dishonoring God. If a woman does that, she's dishonoring her father or her husband. Hello? Okay? He says, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is all the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, and again we're talking about here, that will be obvious later in the chapter. We're not talking about whether or not a woman is allowed to come into a church or not wearing a hat, or a man can wear a hat. None of that's being stated here. Okay? In fact, if God was against that kind of thing, he would certainly not told the priest, in order to come in before me, you got to wear one. Hello? Yes or no? Is everybody with me or not?
Yep.
He says, "For if a woman is not covered, let her also shave her head. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shame, let her be covered." For, oh, there's one of those words again. Everything he said up to this point, this is the reason he said it. Are you listening to me? For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. I didn't say that. God said that. Hello? I'll read it again. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. That's the reason. What does he say that the woman is the glory of? God? No, of man. What is man the glory of? Woman? God. I didn't write that, guys. It said right there in black and white. Hello? Let's keep reading. For man is not from the woman, but the woman from the man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. That shows intent. It shows intent. Would it not be improper for the thing created for another person to rule over them? If I were to create a pot, is it okay for that pot now to be my idol and my ruler and my God? Is there a reason why we honor God? Is there a reason why we worship God and He doesn't worship us? He's the creator. We came from Him. We were made for His pleasure. Amen? There's a reason for this. If you have offspring, if you have children, you have given offspring, is it proper for them to rule over you? No, this is common sense, isn't it? They came from you, not you from them. Is everybody with this or not? This isn't rocket science. He says, verse 8 again. For man is not from the woman, but the woman from the man. Nor was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Now, that gets into a sticky issue I don't want to spend a lot of time with. In fact, I'm not going to spend any time with it. But he does use the word symbol, which isn't an italicized, but it is represented in the Greek. What he means there was, what your symbol is, that can be cultural. I don't care what it is. If for a woman, it can be long hair or a hat. Whatever your society says, I don't care. She just needs to have some symbol of having a covering. In our society, it's a ring. Or she comes to church with her father if she's not married. She's under a covering. Isn't that what he started off talking about? Was the covering in the head? Yeah. Yes? Yes, absolutely. And he hasn't left that topic. He's still talking about the same thing. Okay? She needs to have a symbol. What that symbol is, you can keep on, if you read further on down here in verse 15 and 16, it says, "But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her." So you can see what he's talking about, the whole covering the head and not covering the head and all that is talking about how much hair you have. Okay? He says here, "But if the woman has long hair, it is her glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious on this point, we have no such customs, neither do the churches of God." In other words, if they want to have a hat or not have a hat, have long hair or short hair, if anyone seems contentious upon this, I'm not making this part of doctrine about what you put on, what your symbol has to be. But he was clear, you need to have a symbol. What it is, if you're contentious about whether it's a hat or whether it's hair or whether it's a ring or what, I'm not going to fight you on that because we don't have such customs and we're not going to make one, Paul says. But the things that were not fungible, the things that were not up for debate, he goes back to Genesis. Amen? Is everybody seeing that? And he makes that very, very clear. Now, there's a whole lot more to it than that, but because of time, we'll stop. So I'll probably spend some more time. I don't think I will do it next Wednesday because that's the last service we'll have before Christmas. And really would like to do something Christmassy. So we'll do that. So it'll be considerably later, but we'll pick up with it next time, okay? Whenever next time is. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay.